Welcome back. 414, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and on RLTV. It's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy, live from the Washington Times. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, on Wednesday, I always like to welcome Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages, to the program. And most of the time, she's on the telephone, but not today.
Wow.
She's here in person. Hi, Emily.
Wow, how great is that?
And this is fun.
And bearing gifts. Did you see what Emily brought?
These are the.
I've been baking.
Yeah, these are the best looking wood chips I have had. Little M&M's. Yeah.
This man would recognize it.
He eats mulch.
He's a vegan.
These are nuts. I can eat these.
Can't see. Cinnamon sugar pecans. And
hey, you know, why didn't you, you know, I would have loved, had you made these with, you know, just a couple little meat nuggets on a couple of them, it would have just been perfect. The man who's a vegan who said that he would indeed eat meat on the last day on Earth.
But that? I don't happen to believe that the Mayans were right.
Okay.
The Mayans were wrong about
most
everything.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, thank you for this.
Obviously, there's a lot to talk about this week. The big story coming from Newtown, Connecticut, and I know you've addressed it in at least one column this week. And a lot of the attack went right to the gun control, right after the guns, and it always does. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know where it's going. I mean, the president today said that he's put, of all people, Joe Biden in charge of this commission to look at gun control laws. And it appears that something's coming down the pike. Something's going to be recommended as early as January.
Well, that was so interesting the way Obama said. He started out by saying this is such a complex issue. It has to do with guns. It has to do with culture and violent video games and the mental ill and how we treat them. And then within the same breath, he said, so I've told them they have 1 month to come up with answers that we can act on. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to come up in 1 month that, you know, studies and years, people haven't figured out what has determined these mass murderers.
Well, I got the impression that what he pretty much did in that press conference was announce what the findings will be before the commission even sits. I mean, who knows more about misfiring than Joe Biden, right? He's not the guy who'd put in charge of a gun control commission unless he already knew what the answers were. But let me ask you something, because you're obviously an expert on this, and we've talked about this. That piece in all of this that essentially they want to change that would now require you to register a gun at a gun show, as opposed to a gun shop, is apparently fighting words for the NRA. What is the problem with changing that in their thinking? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, the sense is that the exchange and private exchanges and sales of guns should not be governed by the government. This is not a business. You know, if I want to sell my gun to you, I actually technically can't because I live in D.C. and that's illegal in D.C. Mm-hmm. But that the government should not be involved in that transaction. That's their concern.
And, you know, it's interesting. I just remembered that there have been times in my past, and Emily, you know, I've been a target shooter and had been for years, where a friend of mine would say, hey, you know, if you ever sell that, I'd like to have it to do exactly what I was already doing with it. And it's like a car. From time to time, you go out and you buy a new model.
Okay? Or almost anything on eBay.
Yeah. And so it wasn't uncommon at all to just simply hand the guy the gun, take $400 for it or whatever, and then move on. So what you would what will probably be proposed is that every transaction with any type of gun will have to have a paperwork trail.
And that also means the government knows every single gun out there, who has them, how many, exactly which ones.
So that's where the sticking point is, because you still have to register your car even if you sell it privately. I mean, there has to be some kind of transfer of paperwork, right?
Right.
So apparently what this is about is sending the history of that gun and the gun owner. I assume you'd have to have the background checked as well, right?
Sure.
I think that's the point.
Okay. Well,
but I think, you know, the bigger thing they're going to push is the so-called assault weapons ban. And that's what's, you know, coming on the pike. You know, Dianne Feinstein, who wrote the first one, has already put it up. And, you know, we've discussed this so many times, and it just bears repeating that the assault weapons ban was in place for 10 years until 2004. Crime did not go down. And the FBI.
He voted for it.
Really?
I did. And to just repeat myself again, I will not apologize. It was part of a huge crime bill. Now,
Emily,
listen to me.
Emily, you broke my heart.
Now, let me ask you.
It was part of a huge crime bill put more cops on the street at a time when both Republicans and Democrats.
Wasn't it? You had a favor to do for someone, didn't you?
You know what?
You had to return the favor.
I'm listening to a couple of target shooters, and me, I'm the target. How do you think I feel about that?
I want to ask you a question, then, because this is what I feel is a major problem sort of in our society in the debate on guns is that people don't, that, you know, the Brady people and all this stuff, they started this thing called, let's call it assault weapons,
mm-hmm.
and deliberately to scare people. And so I'm going to ask you, when you voted for it, and I know you know differently now, but when you voted for it, would you have been able to define statutorily what it means by assault weapon?
No, and most members who voted for it couldn't either. And most members who will vote for it this time can't do it either.
That's right.
But here's the point.
And explain exactly that it's – well, the thing was is that what they did statutorily was say if a gun has two of three cosmetic things on it, which was a pistol grip, a folding – pistol grip just means you're holding the gun up with a different hand. Folding stocks means you just adjust a rifle to fit your shoulder. Or a bayonet lug, which holds a knife, which obviously no one's going to be running down the street, you know, killing people with bayonets. That and it's assault weapons. People are very mistaken. And these polls that come out now, these new polls this week, saying people support the assault weapons ban. I would love the pollsters to say, what is an assault weapon? Because I would bet you 75% to 80% of the public would say it's an automatic weapon. Or they'll say it's a semi-automatic weapon because people think semi-automatic weapons are rare and extreme. They don't realize that that's just what guns are made of now, how they're made now, mm-hmm. and it doesn't affect the function of it.
Let me ask you this. I assume that this assault weapon ban will essentially be a replica of what did pass in 94 and was not renewed in 2004. Do you think there will be an attempt to retroactively collect assault weapons? Because let's be honest, if you're just going to stop the sale, how many millions of those weapons do you already have out there?
Well, that's reportedly correct. That's reportedly that this new one that Feinstein's doing would not grandfather in the existing guns.
It would
not. So what, you'd have to turn them in, or what, they're going to come get them?
Look, see, I think them's fighting words.
Right.
I don't think they'll ever get that to pass.
Right.
And I would never vote for that.
I don't think this is going to go move through the House.
There are 300 million guns in this country.
Half the country, half the homes in this country have a gun. Have a gun in their home.
Right. Okay. And you know, we always hear that you can't get rid of 8 to 11 million illegals. Are you going to go collect 300 million guns?
And because my rifle.
You know, I mean, seriously.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
No, seriously.
And you know, all going back to this horrendous, you know, just, you know, words cannot describe shooting of these children in Newtown. He broke the laws that existed. He was not allowed to buy a handgun because
exactly
he's under 21.
Right.
So he stole handguns, and that's illegal. Connecticut has the strictest gun control. This is not assault weapons. He had a semi-automatic. He shot these poor children repeatedly with it. These laws are in place, but if you're a crazed killer...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, going back to your original point about how quickly can you get this done in a month, I don't see any real substantive change in mental health. I see no change in whatever the cultural imperatives are. I mean, what are they going to do? Come up with a new rating system for movies? You know how well that has worked.
Again,
or video games, which this kid apparently played
right
at the rate of 5 or 6 hours a day. And how do you protect a kid from a parent like this kid's mother, who apparently collected these weapons and was a survivalist herself?
No, that's actually been disproved, so we should clarify that.
She's not a survivalist.
No, that
she
was
just had six guns because she liked guns.
No,
I have a lot of friends who have. I mean,
well,
that's not a lot.
I knew a lot of women that were into target shooting that had a bigger gun collection than
I
did.
But I'm gonna go back to what you said in the first hour.
Here's what I did say in the first hour. I said, had she known, and it's apparent that she did, that her son was about, she was going to have to commit him because she had lost control of him. She should have never given him access to those guns.
But
guns should have been moved out of her home.
Well, let me also say, though, we don't know the evidence. Let's be clear. A lot of these facts have not come out. But it is perfectly likely that she had these guns locked. I'm saying it's probably likely.
No, and you're
he
right.
Shot and killed her in her bed and stole them. That could have happened to, you could have done it to the neighbor.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have gone to anyone's house and shot and killed them, taken their
key
and
opened
their locks.
Even if she had a gun safe, he could have had the combination to it.
I mean, if you're a mad killer and you want to get guns, you're going to get guns.
Right.
We can't blame the mother.
Well,
at this point,
this is the tough question, though, Emily. Then who do you blame? Because there is this enormous circular blame game that's going on. It's very easy to blame the guns.
You blame the dark soul of an individual hell bent on killing people.
But that's just about evil. That's about intangible.
How do you ever stop it?
That's when I say you have meaningless action. Meaningful action dedicated to a meaningless evil. How can you address that?
You can't. We can pray. I mean, there is horrible things have happened way before guns were invented. People have murdered children. People, in any cases, it's unacceptable. The world has wanted for in the existence of humankind to stop this horrible things from happening. Jesus said, bring me the children. They are the most vulnerable in our society. We can't eliminate all evil. And, you know, parents are so scared now, thinking their schools are dangerous. These shootings are so rare. I mean, it is so many times more likely your child's going to get hit by a car or cancer or all these other things.
Hit by a dog.
You know, there's just, you know, they should do everything they can. Personally, I believe that they should take down the signs that say gun-free zones at any school. And they should allow a teacher security who wants to possess and carry a weapon on campus. They should, because otherwise you're just killing these killers. Look, in the Aurora shooting, he could have gone to any movie theater closer
Seven
to himself.
Seven theaters closer.
He went to the one that had the big gun-free zone sign outside. Yep. So, you know, these people are sitting ducks in these places.
Yep. All right, listen, I'm afraid we're out of time. It was great to have you in here today.
Thank you.
Please come back. See us again.
I
know
will.
I'll talk to you.
Not
next week. Not next week, because next week is Christmas week. Won't be around here. So I won't talk to you until next year.
Until 2013.
That's right.
We'll all be older and wiser by then.
Yeah. And evidently we'll have forgotten about me.
Okay.
I need some comfort food. Poor. I think I'll start on my nuts.
Poor Fred. Emily, great to see you. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Emily Miller, senior editor of the opinion pages here at the Washington Times. It's Andy Parks and Fred Grady, live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and RLTV. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.